Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I was just saying to Alison, I've done an hour's of writing, an hour of official stuff and my morning pages and tidied up a bit.
Wow, this jet lag suits you.
Welcome to Women Talking Bollocks, a podcast where you'll hear, well, three women talking utter bollocks. What you won't hear is anyone nattering on about fashion, makeup, diets, or those blinking Kardashians. I'm not even sure I know who they are, if I'm honest. But what you will hear is some uplifting, irreverent chat with myself, Jen Brister, and my two very dear friends, comedians and women, the very wonderful, if slightly eccentric, Maureen Younger, and the dashing, kind, charisma bomb that is Alison June Smith.
Hey, I am going on tour in June and July, so I would love to see you there. Some of the cities that I will be going to are Liverpool. I will be in Chester. I am finally coming to Brighton. I'm going to be in Chorley, Blackpool, and Manchester. So if you're in any of those cities, I would love to see you. Go to my website, alisonjunesmith.com, and buy some tickets.
I think jet lag's the way forward for you, Maureen. You're so productive when your body clock just says, actually, it's morning.
Yeah, I know. It's hilarious. Because I'm a night owl normally. So, yeah, but you do get a sense of smugness, I think, if you've done three things by 8:30.
I think you are a night owl, but not a productive night owl.
No.
So if you get up early and you're doing loads of stuff, that's brilliant.
I know. I've also, Jamie slept with me last night.
Oh. Maureen, I'm so glad that she's, Maureen sent me a picture because Jamie's gone. She had to go. And we all miss her, by the way. All of us, apart from the children. me and Chloe. The kids were like, yeah, okay.
Don't even think they said bye, did they?
No, to be honest with you, I don't think Jamie would have noticed, given that we had concertinaed her into a...
Oh, my God. She did not want to get into her carrier bag. I've never seen her fight so much. It took three of us, me, Jen, and Jen's brother, to get her in. She wasn't going anywhere, was she?
No, she did not want to go in. She was really angry with...
Hissing.
All of us.
Scratching.
But anyway, I'm glad that she's happy at home. That's great.
Yeah.
She looked very cosy.
Yeah, she did look very cosy. She spent the whole night next to me in bed. So that was kind of sweet.
Oh, that's sweet.
When I arrived,
she immediately recognised home when she got back, I'm sure.
Yeah, when I arrived at Jen's, she was not the least bit interested. And I think she spent the night at Jen's in Chloe's rather than up in my bedroom. And I said to Chloe, I think that means you keep her. And Chloe went, no, it doesn't.
No, we'd run out of cat litter. So that was the...
Time to go.
Honestly, they did. They ran out of the... That's just the bag the day I was there.
Anyway, back to your productivity, Maureen. There will be Jamie's chat. There always is. God, I can't speak. This is
9
early,
o'clock,
isn't it? Yeah.
It's early.
Well, it's 8 early o'clock, for comics. Really.
8 o'clock for us. Yeah. Well, 8 o'clock for everyone. We've only put the clocks forward the other day. You look very glam, Maureen. What the fuck?
I think the Peppa Pig ring really sets it off, though.
I love that you're still wearing it.
I don't need to see it again, Maureen. I've seen it once. No. You've spent money on it. $5, I believe.
It's $5, whole £2.50.
Five whole dollars. So I'm afraid that's going to take, I don't know how many years you're going to have to wear that in order to pay that off.
for the rest of my life, Jen. You'll be going through it when you go through my estate.
Oh, something to look forward to.
People will be fighting over it, I tell you.
Yeah. Well, I'll happily step back from that particular fracas and say it's a beautiful ring and it suits you on your pinky, as it should be, as it's a pig. Where else would a pig sit but on your pinky? Are you tired? I'm so tired.
What did you do last night?
Nothing. I went to bed really early. But I'm just feeling out of sorts. I always feel like this when the clocks go back, forward, upside down, everywhere. I feel jet lag too, actually, Maureen.
Oh, do you know what? When I got to Oz, the day I got to Oz, I was sharing with Mickey Bartlett, and I was like going on about jet lag, and he went, I know, I had to fly from Perth in Australia. I think it's like 2 hours, 2.5 hours. And I went, mate.
No, it's not. It's not. Perth is 8 hours flight.
Is it 8 hours? No, to Adelaide.
Yes. It's like seven or eight hours. Yeah.
Oh, is it? Maybe it's a 2.5 hour time difference.
It's that's a difference. You're flying across a continent. Yes, it's a 2.5 hour difference, but it's not. I think maybe 8 hours is a bit much. 5 hours? It's a long flight. Let's Google it. Perth to Adelaide.
This is exciting content for our listeners.
Oh, actually, do you know what? It's only 3 hours. Mickey Bartlett, get to fuck, mate. Maureen has been on an aeroplane for 26 hours.
Alison, how was your week?
My week was good. Jen, did you get new glasses? Sorry, this is not a visual medium, but are those new glasses?
No, these are my old ones. I was wearing new ones last week, but these, I'll put my old ones back on.
She was doing the serial murder look last week.
Yeah.
I did my serial killer look last week. Yep.
I like those ones.
I've stopped wearing the other ones because Chloe was calling me, what's her name? Rosemary West. So... She was like, oh, hello, here's Rosemary. I thought, I can't keep wearing these anymore. So I've taken them off. I put the old ones back on. Here they are.
That's what happens when you buy new glasses. Back to the old ones.
Back to the old ones, baby. I will wear the other ones, but just for today.
Well, they're lovely.
These were to hand. That's the other thing.
Yeah.
Now that I've got like 4 pairs of glasses, I can't find any of them. So I just have to, whatever's closest. Also, I didn't have time to faff around. Yeah. Alison, what have you been up to? Anything?
I bought a treadmill, guys. I bought a treadmill.
Get
there we go. That's what I've been doing.
Where the fuck are you going to put a treadmill? They're massive.
Yeah.
In the spare room.
No, Maury. We don't really have a spare room. It is Danny's office. I put the treadmill in the living room. I'll show you the picture. It is 1/4 of the living room now. Now, when I bought it, I don't think I really had in mind how much space it would really take up.
Like,
it's the majority of the living room.
But you can't see the TV while you're doing it, though, can you?
No, because it just doesn't.
You can only look at the wall.
You will be punished while you exercise in my house.
Yeah.
But there's a spot for your iPad, so you can put your iPad on and watch that. Guys, I bought a treadmill. I've been thinking about it for years.
Okay.
I just went for it. I just bought a treadmill.
You did it. You've got it.
I've got it.
If anything else, you can hang washing on it, can't you?
I've already done that. But I have used it. I have used it. So is Danny. We're very much into the world of treadmilling. Although my mom was like, oh, well, it takes up so much room in your living room. How are you going to entertain? And I was like, I don't know what you think is going on at my house, Mom. Like, I'm holding fucking cocktail parties. Like, no, I don't know where to put this now. How are you going to entertain?
Like I always do. My friends sit on the sofa and I hand round the crisps.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to put a spare chair on top of the treadmill. And there we go.
Have you been using it every day? How often do you use it?
I use it every other day. I'm trying to rotate treadmill strength training, because as older women, as we are supposed to be building up our muscle strength, because you use your muscle. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jen's got pipes.
I have been doing some weights at home.
Oh, have you? Yeah.
So boring. Isn't it
no.
boring? Anyway, I've been doing some weights, but I don't really know what I'm doing. I know you're supposed to go to a gym to do this, but I think I will kill myself if I ever walk into a gym again. I hate gyms. I can't do it. They're full of people. They're full of Gen Zs doing like pull-ups with one finger. It's like, I can't be in here with you people.
Yeah.
And I don't want to wear
also, you got to go to the gym. I think getting to the gym is a step that also stops you from exercising. That whole idea of like, well, I got to get there. And
I've got to walk. Then, yeah, it does put you off walk, exercising, doesn't it?
Change of clothes, putting a bag on your... There's a lot that goes on.
I do know what you mean, though. I don't want to have to leave the house to exercise.
I don't want to leave the house. Period.
Period. Yeah, exactly. I like my swimming, but other than that, I'm not really that fussed about doing any sort of running. Forget it. Never running again. I gave up running when I was about 12, and I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad that you've got your treadmill. That sounds great. Alison, I don't want to... I believe in you. I want you to know that.
I appreciate it.
I believe in you, so I think this is going to get a lot of use.
For the first month, at least, definitely.
Well, I go to Canada in a week, so good time to buy it, right?
You're not packing it with you. You're not bringing it with you.
No. Where would I entertain? Where would I entertain in Calgary? But Danny's used it and he's into it. He's been watching The Sopranos and he's like, one of the Soprano characters bragged about how they could walk 3 miles. And he's like, I'm going to walk 3 miles. If that fat guy on The Sopranos can do it, I'm going to do it. And I was like, that's not real. But okay, you get on
also,
there, babe.
Danny. With the best one in the world, 3 miles is not that far. You can walk 3 miles. I've even been with Maureen and walked 3 miles. You can do it. I believe in you.
It can happen.
It can happen. Well, good luck. Keep us posted about the treadmill extravaganza that we are experiencing. I have not been doing very much. God, why is my life so boring? This podcast helps to highlight how uninteresting my existence really is. When you have to every week take stock of what you've been doing and realize, I haven't actually been doing anything. Who cares? I've been gigging. Nobody cares. That's my job. Why is it? Why is it that nothing else is happening? Just trying to think.
Because you've got kids?
Well, they go to school, don't they? I mean, they're on holiday now. They're on holiday. There. Oofed. Right.
Yeah. So have you been doing kids stuff then? Have you been entertaining
the
children?
You've been going to playgrounds, Jen, your favourite.
Do you know, the great thing about them being 9 is that all the playgrounds are too young for them now, so they don't like a playground. There's an upside. I've been working, and also the kids only just broke up, so it's only for the listeners, we're only recording this on Monday, bank holiday. So last week it was just I gigged almost every night apart from Good Friday when I had some friends over and we had a dinner. We had a dinner. There we go. Sophisticated dinner.
Oh, you entertained.
I entertained. I baked a cheesecake.
Jen.
Oh, Alison, which I was offered.
Maureen,
and I
before
said
we
no.
talk about you, it's still about
oh,
me.
Oh, okay.
I know you were going to, I could tell, I already could tell. The second I brought up cheesecake, I was like, Maureen's going to talk about her experience with the cheesecake. Let's just
she
sit.
Perks up. She perks up when she's got a story about her. The rest of the time, it's like, all right, let's go, let's go.
Let's just sit with me for a little bit longer, Maureen, and then we'll talk about you again. So, which I'm happy to do. I baked a cheesecake and it was very baked. It was the densest cheesecake I have ever tasted in my life. My brother had some yesterday. He said, oh, and I went, are you enjoying that? He said, well, it's quite a lot. It's very, there's a lot of it, isn't there? And I said, well, it's not, you haven't actually got a very big slice. He went, that's not what I mean. It's just, there's a lot inside this. And I was like, he said, what did you do to it? I said, I baked it. I followed the instructions. He went, oh, okay. Well done. Which, all in all, by the end of his compliment, felt like it was like the most disgusting thing he'd ever put in his mouth. I will say that it was very dense. I don't even know if you'd have enjoyed it, Maureen. We'll never know because let's finish Maureen's anecdote.
Yeah, I actually refrained from having it because I'm being good. So I didn't have any cheesecake.
Maureen got offered cheesecake and she said no. But she relayed this anecdote in front of all of us. Whilst she was having a bagel with mayonnaise, butter and cheese. So
oh, yeah, that's
kind of cancelled it out.
And cucumber. There was cucumber in it as well.
Maureen said to my brother, I'm being very good. She said, eating a bagel with Maureen, butter and cheese.
And cucumber.
The cucumber doesn't cancel out the more...
But it's green.
Maureen,
greens.
Maureen, for years, used to say to me, I've had a salad. I said you did have a salad, but I did see you slam through a packet of biscuits. So it doesn't really matter about the salad. Anyway, Maureen, it's lovely to have you in your home once again. This is the second week seeing you at home, and also so perky and alive and well. Wonderful.
Thanks.
Trying to think of something to say. But I feel like alive is
positive. It's really hard for you to say something nice, isn't it? You're really struggling, even though you live from writing and words. You're like, what can I say? The struggle on your face. Oh, goodness, oh God,
a vein has come up on my forehead. That's how much of a struggle it was. I've never seen that vein before. No, Maureen, as I said to you at the start of the podcast, you look very much like Louise Brooks in the 1920s Hollywood movie. That is in itself a compliment. Congratulations, well done. And now it's time to go back to Maureen. What is this? We've finished complimenting Maureen, but it's not enough, because we're heading back to her, for she has a moment. It's Beam or Maureen. Let's find out what it is.
Me and Jen were in the jacuzzi. I had this new swimming costume on, and the top was actually around my neck. So I was flashing Jen and completely unaware of it.
Completely topless. Tankini around her neck. That would have been the first indicator to me. I'd be like, what is this around my neck?
Nope, no, I didn't notice. Well, it involves Jamie.
Oh, no,
Jamie.
I know this one.
You know this one, I told you. I wasn't going to tell you because I wanted your surprise, but I couldn't help it. So basically, Jen's been going on about the fact that Jamie's desperate to go outside. So I thought I'll get her some vaccinations and then she can go out. So I phone up the vet. I go to make an appointment for this week coming. And he says to me, well, you know, you've got to have a booster in a month and then you've got to wait another month. So it'll be 2 months really till she can go out. I went, oh, let's make it a bit earlier. So I booked an appointment for Friday, booked the appointment. That was all done. And then I realised I wasn't picking the cat up till Sunday. And it turns out if the cat is going to be vaccinated, it's really, really important for the cat to be there.
To have the cat.
To have the cat. So I had to phone back and basically say, oh, I don't have the cat. Can we make it Tuesday?
Oh, dear. I would have loved to see you turn up at that
without the cat.
So where's the cat? Do you know what? I was so focused on getting an early appointment. I forgot. I don't have the cat till Sunday.
Yeah, I had to redo the appointment. He was very understanding. I just said I don't have the cat.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want it. I mean, we can imagine the facial expression. We don't need to.
That's what happens when you're proactive with jet lag.
Yeah, yeah. Right? I was all big organised. Yeah, he did agree with me that it is vital for the appointment for the cat to be there.
Yes.
And not to be in Brighton.
When you're going to London, when the appointment is in London. Yeah. Well, what to say about that, Maureen? But it's very on brand. And it did make me laugh when you told it to me. Because at the end... I think Maureen said something. I think there was an implication that I ought to take the cat with me. And I said, yes, I think that inference was there. Oh dear. Well, Maureen, that's quite a classic one.
Yeah.
When Maureen left the house because she had she'd come down and you were staying over, you had an overnight bag with you. So Maureen had a handbag, an overnight bag.
Bag of stuff.
A bag of stuff that I gave her for the cat and a bag that included the cat. And as we bundled Maureen into the cat bag was diagonal, I was like, listen, the cat is very distressed. Let's keep her flat. I said, Chloe was like, there's no way Maureen's going to get home with all those bags. I said, she absolutely will. She absolutely will. I mean, maybe the cat might not be with her, but the rest of the bags she'll keep. Yeah. Maureen doesn't lose bags. That's one thing Maureen doesn't do because it's got valuables in it. Again, we were worried about the cat.
I always count how many bags I've got and then make sure I've got the same number getting off anything.
Yeah, you don't lose bags. You're not like me. I lose everything. You do not lose bags. But I was relieved to see the cat had made it home just anyway.
I've got to put her in the carrier bag. Not the carrier bag. Don't put her in a carrier bag. No wonder she'd be screaming. I've got to take her to the put her in the bag tomorrow for the vet. Oh. That's going to be.
You might need to get a couple of neighbours in to help you.
Honestly, she goes ballistic.
Could you put catnip in the bag?
She's not stupid.
She doesn't give a shit about catnip treats or anything. She's like, I'm not going in there. Yeah. I'm not going in there.
Okay.
Good luck, Maureen. That'll be something we can hear about how that went in the next episode of Cat
Maureen
in a Bag.
And Jamie. Yeah.
Oh, thanks, Maureen, for your Beeble Maureen moment. That was a classic. I very much enjoyed it hearing it again. There we go. The classics are always can be heard more than once. But let's go to Alison now. She has been given a very difficult situation in order that she must solve it. Let us find out how she has done this. It's time to ask Alison.
Go to the gym, get it together, pay your taxes and stop eating chips. Take my advice.
Take my advice. I ain't using it.
Hey. All right. Yes, I do have a problem. Thank you, everyone who is writing in. Please continue to do so. No promise, no too small. No promise, too great. I will attempt giving you some suggestions. I'm not a professional therapist, but the problem this week that I got, I think we can all relate to it. I really like it. Hello, WTB women. First off, let me say I love the podcast. Hey, and also with the problems, thanks so much that you guys always started off with a compliment. Can I just say, it feels real good. Feels real good. So thank you. Long story shortish, I have always been actively creative. I say actively because I believe we're all creative. Thank you for saying that. I agree. I always wrote stories, sketched, and I had a burning desire to be an actor. In my late 20s, I was brave enough to go to acting school in London. She's a Yorkshire lass. And I knew I was on track for a great career. I'm a talented actress, or I was. Then my first real love came along, and after some time, she had to go home to Germany. I decided to leave the UK. I wanted to be with my girlfriend. Fast forward to almost 14 fucking years, and that desire to act hasn't left. But it's painful because I don't know how to pick up the reins again. I feel ashamed that I haven't worked on anything for so long. I've lost my nerve. I work in voiceover as a freelance, getting a lot of rejection from agents, and I'm writing scripts. I figure I'll make my own stuff. But the doubt and the procrastination, fuck me, I can't get over the hump. I used to be fearless. I have no regrets about leaving. I love my life in Germany. My now ex-girlfriend is one of my best friends, and I'm in an incredible relationship of 7 years. I'm not someone who would sacrifice everything for a career, a piss on your granny to get to the top kind of gal, but there's a void where more really creative work should be, and any advice or words of encouragement you could offer me would be greatly appreciated. First off, well done. Well done for recognizing that you miss it. And that gap is, you know, you still feel that. I'm so glad that you have no regrets about your life, though. Well done. I think sometimes people look back and go, oh, I shouldn't have done that or this and that. So I'm very happy that you acknowledge all the positive things in your life. You said you feel ashamed that I haven't worked on anything for so long. Don't you dare shame yourself. Don't you dare do that. Life happens, all right? I want you to be proud of yourself for acknowledging this. Don't be ashamed. You are living life. You are filling the well. Maureen was just telling me this morning she did her morning pages. Sometimes as an artist, we need to back away and do some things to have some experiences to fill our artistic well. So that's what you have done for a period of time. You probably now are more experienced in life. You have more things that have happened. You are going to bring that to the stage or any artistic things that you do now. So don't be ashamed. I figure I'll make my own stuff. Well done. That is what you got to do in this day and age, right? You can sit around and wait for someone to want you for something, and odds are they're gonna. But I love your proactive approach to writing your own stuff, doing your own stuff. That's the key in this day and age. Here are some suggestions I think that can help you get back on track, especially if it's been a while. It can feel really out of our comfort zone. The first thing I'm going to recommend, and I think we all would agree with this, take an acting class, take a workshop, get back in the world of doing that. Workshops and classes are the best way to reintroduce yourself to what's going on, because that will also show you what's going on in the industry right now. Industries change, things change. Taking a class or a workshop is the best way that you can get that experience or that knowledge. Also, you're going to be around other like-minded people. That is inspiring in and of itself. And as soon as you're interacting with those people again, they'll probably have some other tips, some other suggestions, maybe some other classes. places, some other places they've been. Also, I want you to go start watching theater again. I want you to go start seeing performances. Anything that inspires you creatively, go to some art galleries, see some theater. Just get yourself inspired again. Take advantage of your network. Do you still have people that are involved in the acting world? Is there anyone that can kind of mentor you a little bit right now in their experiences and what's going on with them? Oh, practice mindfulness. I know this sounds silly, but sometimes when we're so worried about like, how do I get into this? How do I even do it? Sometimes we just need to take a step, take a moment and just one little step at a time. A little bit of mindfulness, like Maureen does, the morning pages. Sorry to bring it up, but I was just so proud to hear that you're doing it. It's not meditation necessarily. Sometimes morning pages where we just get up and write what's going on in our head allows us to dump what is going on. And that might help you get rid of some of these blocks that you're feeling right now, some of these insecurities. Just let it out. Be honest with yourself how you're feeling. I love morning pages. Again, with connecting with people that might be still involved in the acting world, you got to see what's going on. You got to see how things have changed. I mean, I remember one time I went to do an acting slate. I hadn't done one for ages. And I went to do like the side to side. Well, people aren't doing that anymore. And I looked like a fucking idiot. So you got to learn what's going on, right? Also, I feel if you're doing all these little things, it will boost your confidence, which I think also we have to take time out of the day. You need to start planning time each day to go, okay, today I'm going to take an hour and I'm going to focus on something to do with the acting career that I want to begin again. It could be as simple as this technology, right? You could take some time and go, all right, I'm going to have to learn how to do some self-tapes. Are there some programs on your iPhone? Are there some things that you start playing around with that? You're going to need to learn all of this. Uploading and editing show reels, you're going to have to learn that as well eventually because the world is all about an online tape right now.
Can I say, please, with show reels, historically actors have used clips from stuff and it's been fine. There are now people going about, and if you haven't got actual permission from the producers, they're getting suing people for large sums of money. So be really careful with show reels. It's now a business.
Yeah.
Actually, from a legal point of view, Equity have said you haven't got a leg to stand on because you don't own the copyright. So if you are doing clips and show reels, make sure you've got the copyright.
Got the permission.
Yeah.
See, there we go. Even just talking to one person gives us a little bit of insight into something that I wouldn't have known that. I don't know that. I'm probably going to get sued eventually from that commercial I did 17 years ago for Rogers Telephone Company that, yes, is still on my reel, everyone. And the biggest thing I want to say is, don't get caught up in comparing yourself to what you see other people doing or what you think everyone else is doing. Just, I'm very proud of you that you've acknowledged you want to get back into this. Little baby steps, but start doing those things that'll inspire you to get back into it. And you know what? Enjoy your comeback. This is a really exciting time. And this process is the most exciting and exhilarating thing about it. It won't be the outcome all the time. So enjoy the process, as they say.
Can I suggest something? I'm going to talk about it more next week, but I'm actually reading Arnold Schwarzenegger's book, Be Useful, Seven Tools for Life. And actually, it's a really good book. It's not a self-help book, but it's really good. I would suggest reading that.
I actually want to read that because I love watching Arnold Schwarzenegger talk about...
I mean... He's successful, let's put it that way. And if there's a continuum of being successful and not being successful, we're both, he's at one end, I'm at the other. So it's not a self-help book, but I'm finding it really, really useful. And it's partly why I've been changing, playing my, acting differently for the last couple of days. So...
I'm going to read that because honestly, Pumping Iron was his film. I used to watch that film all the time. I had no desire to be a bodybuilder, but I found like... I don't know. I like his process. He was like, this is what you do. You go to do it.
I am not. There's no way I could be as determined as he is. That is excessive. But I think he's got some very useful tips. So it might be worth looking at that as well.
That's great. That's a great suggestion. Some other books that might inspire or trigger those sort of thoughts. Excellent. Excellent suggestion, Maureen. Yeah. That's all the advice I can think of. Jen, do you have anything else you want to add into that? Creative?
As a creative, I think just if you want to do something, you just should absolutely go ahead and do it and not worry about the outcome, because the outcome is the thing that clouds the process and also I think contaminates the process. in a way, because because it comes with expectation. So you have to take expectation away from doing something creative and just do it for the sake of doing it, for the act of doing it, for the joy of doing it, for the love of it. And then that might result in a different outcome. It might result in A, making you happier, B, making you more creative and seeking to do other things. I know that, you know, a lot of the time people, and I include myself in this when I've been doing stuff, and it's different, I suppose, when doing comedy, because it's always sort of tied in with trying to pay your rent. So it does put a little bit of a firecracker up your bum. But I think if my process as a writer changed when I stopped caring or looking to see what everyone else was doing and really just focused on myself and what I wanted and what I needed and what was good for me, because I'm so different from everybody else. Everyone is. You are. We are. We're all different. Then when you start going, oh, well, they did that and I'm going to do that, or they've got that and I haven't got that, then it becomes messy. But if you're doing something for the sake of the creative process, wow, you're just going to really just, you'll enjoy it. You'll enjoy it. It will be frustrating and you'll find times where you're like, God, why am I not getting better at this or whatever? But you always, if you stay with something, I think you always go through it.
Yeah.
So that would be my advice, is to not focus on the outcome, but focus on basically what you said, Alison. I'm just repeating back what you said, and focus on the process and enjoying it.
Yeah. And also, I encourage you to like look at community theater. What's going on around you? Is there something you could get involved? I know it feels like, but again, you got to start somewhere. Also, when I wanted more of a reel, I started to look at universities. I started to look at like, because there's a lot of productions where they need volunteer actors. This is a great way to get back into things. So really, like, just mine your brain, mine all your friends for ideas of ways
absolutely
to get involved.
Yeah. I mean, in the UK, you can, there's the National Film School, and they do, every year they've got new students, and they, at the end of the year, they film a short. And I've done one of those for a writer. I did one of her shorts. And that, if I ever had a showreel, would have gone on it. You know, like it's and it's done in a, you know, it's at the film school. So they've got proper sets and proper, you know,
and they're not going to sue you for using that.
No, and they will not sue you for using it. So you can totally use it in your showreel. So if there's a film school near you, or those are places to go to, but definitely like local community theatres and film schools are places to go where you can cut your teeth a little bit. But good luck, and don't be disheartened, and don't feel bad about not doing it. Sounds like you've made the right decision up until this point.
Yeah, and living your life.
Maureen always goes on about The Artist's Way. That's a good book, isn't it, Maureen?
Yeah, yeah.
It's great. That's where the morning pages comes from.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit American, so you've got to kind of take some of it with a pinch of salt. But on the whole, it is a really good book.
But it's good, like...
It gets you out of a rut. It makes you positive.
Yeah. and you do those things where you do... Artist dates. What's an artist date, Maureen?
It's you take yourself out and you do something that's fun, whatever you consider to be fun.
Ah, there you go. But that's all part of feeding the well. So go out and fill your well.
Fill your well. And write a script about three very hysterical middle-aged women and get it produced, and we'll be there.
Oh, yeah. We'll see you there. We'll see you there. Alison, thank you very much for your agony aunt. I don't know what I'm saying. Today isn't working out for me.
It's still early.
Thank you for your... Maureen, you take over.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right?
For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
She, I like
Maureen
that she's
has
like
just left. Yeah. I don't know why. But I don't know where she's gone. I can hear Maureen.
Maureen
laughing.
Is laughing with other people.
We're
like,
in the middle of a podcast. Can this be my goat? Where's Maureen?
So have you two decided what's got your goat?
Well, I think we've done it, Maureen.
We've finished. It. It's all.
We've done it, and let's just say you were involved. Anyway.
All right, guys. Jen's feeling a bit tired. She's missing Jamie. So we're going to talk about TV. What have you been watching on telly, Jen?
Thanks, Maureen. Okay, so I've been watching a show which I've been meaning to watch for quite a long time. And I started
just Googling
watching
the name?
It. Yeah, I'm just Googling. I'm Googling my own name because I like to read about myself. So the show is called Barry, and it's it was created by the actor-comedian Bill Hader.
Hi.
And it's about a hitman from the Midwest and who has to go to LA to do a particular job. And when he gets to LA, he gets caught up in this theatre scene, this art scene. This is actually fits very well with the problem, actually. And he realizes that he doesn't want to be a hit, and he falls for a girl, and he realizes he doesn't want to be a hitman anymore. He wants to do these acting classes, which are run by a not very successful actor called Gene Cousineau, played by Henry Winkler. He's brilliant. But he's stuck, but he works for this chap played by Stephen Root, who is like, you know, you're a hitman. This is what we do. We earn money from it. And eventually a job comes in where his boss, because he's been able to go to these acting classes with that, because his boss hasn't been in LA, ends up coming to LA as well. And they end up having to live in the same sort of motel room. So basically he's keeping an eye on Barry so that Barry doesn't go off and start pretending. He's like, you can do these acting classes, but you're not going to be an actor and you're never not going to be a hitman. And we are going to work together. And this is how it is. And this is your life. Okay. But it's trying to extricate himself from this, this world so that he can do the thing that he now loves, which he could be good at, but he's not very good at the moment, which is acting. So he wants to be. And so you've got all these oddball people that are part of this acting class, none of which seem to be particularly good at acting, run by Henry Winkler, who is this very OTT teacher. You know how, you know, there's so much of it having, you know, the two of us will be able to relate to having done quite a lot of acting classes in the past where he tries to get something out of you by like negging you to the point where he's like, and that's why this is the worst acting I've ever seen in my life. And then the actor's going, oh my God, I didn't. And he's like, great, use that. And scene, you know. So it's very funny. It's a comedy. I hope that I don't know if that's come.
Where can you see it?
You can watch it on Now. It's quite low pace and slow, but also there's moments of heightened tension when he's going in to do these sort of hits. And even he gets caught up with this Kurdish sort of mafioso group who he now, because a hit gets bungled, he now owes them. So he has to go out and do like all of these hits in LA. So that he doesn't get killed, and so that's why he's now sort of beholden to this. But the guys that are playing the Kurdish mafia are very funny. Like, there's a particular chap Anthony Carrigan, who plays NoHo Hank. He's honestly so funny. He's both kind of sinister but dumb and funny and endearing but psychotic. It's very well written. It's on Now TV, or if you live in the States, it's on HBO. I imagine if you live in the States, you've already seen it. I think it's one of those cult comedies. But it hasn't had quite the same heat over here in the UK, but I think it will. It's one of those ones that will arrive to us once it's all over. But Barry is my top recommendation. You won't regret it. Well, you might, but if you do, don't tell me.
Well, I've been watching something completely different, right? I've been watching this on Paramount, but it seems to have disappeared.
What
it's meant
it?
To still be on there. It's The Envoys, or Los Enviados. It's a Spanish TV programme. It stars Miguel Ángel Silvestro, who I really like. He's a really good actor. And a Mexican actor, Luis Gerardo Méndez. And it's about two priests. One of them is also a doctor. The other one is also a lawyer. And they work for the Vatican, going around checking to see if people claim there's a miracle has happened. They go to check whether it's actually a miracle or someone's pretending, you know.
Ah.
And the start is really creepy. I was like, oh, this might be too creepy for me. It's set in Mexico, and this guy, everybody disappears, and then this guy commits suicide, and this priest brings him back to life. And they've got to check what's going on. Let's say the priest is a bit dodgy. I really liked it. I only downloaded the first two episodes, and now I can't seem to find it anymore. So I've got to figure out.
Yeah, it says it's on... There are two seasons on Paramount Plus, but
Second season's definitely, I don't think it's come to Britain, but for some reason I can't seem to find it in Paramount Plus anymore.
Well, according to Just Watch, which is usually pretty up to date, you can watch two seasons in the UK Paramount Plus and Apple TV, apparently.
Okay, well, I'll check out Apple. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. I have to say the first, Miguel, is it? Hang on. Lost his name now. He's really good. You might have seen him. He was in Sense8, and I think he was in Narcos as well. Miguel Ángel Silvestro.
Oh, I do. Yes, he was in Narcos. Yes.
He's a really good actor. Really good actor.
He was very good in Narcos. Yeah.
Yeah. And he was also in Velvet, if anybody's watched that Spanish programme, which I loved. So that's my TV recommendation, if you can find it.
Okay, The Envoys. Well, I think you can get it on Paramount.
I think your brother will like it. Your brother will like it.
Oh, I'll tell it. Well, you told him about it, didn't you?
Yeah.
Paramount Plus, or if it's not on there, have a look on Apple TV. Very good recommendation. Thank you, Maureen. Alison, talk to us about the horror that lies within.
Yeah, I have a great horror.
Whoa.
That I don't think anyone's heard of. 2015, it's called The Gallows. Okay, and it goes so well with the prom. Listen to this. 20 years after a horrific accident during a small town school play, students at the school resurrect the failed show in a misguided attempt to honor the anniversary of the tragedy, but soon discover that some things are better left alone. It's awesome. I loved it. I forgot about it. And Danny's like, I was like, I want a horror movie about, you know, theater. And he's like, The Gallows. I was like, oh, yeah. It falls into that teeny kind of horror.
Yeah.
Slasher. Find out what happened years ago. I loved it. It's so theater horror, The Gallows. It's like, you know, Cabin in the Woods meets, I don't know.
The Producers?
Yes, Maureen. That's excellent. Yeah, yeah. With a little bit of a Final Destination feel in there. It's all those things come together.
It's Final Destination is always there in any teen slasher thing. Final Destination comes up. Okay, well, I'm not going to lie to you, Alison, and I don't want to talk about, because it doesn't matter. Horror
the
is
reviews,
subjective,
yeah.
But let's go to the reviews on this particular. 15% on Rotten Tomatoes, or tomatoes, depending on where you live. 30% Metacritic, 4.2 on IMDb, and 59% of people on Google enjoyed this film. So actually, that's above average.
There you go.
So look, but as we always say with the horror, why are you even reading reviews for horror films? Don't bother.
Don't, yeah.
Sometimes they'll say they're great and then you watch them and go, this wasn't good. And sometimes they say they're terrible and you're like, this is the best thing I've ever seen in my life.
Exactly.
Just go with an open mind. You can watch it probably on Amazon Prime. Who knows? Alison, thank you very much for your horror. And Maureen, we are so excited and delighted and thrilled and surprised. And because I'm trying to do the opposite of what I did last week. We are looking
so forward. Oh, God.
You're right. She has a hard time with it. She has a hard time.
You almost managed it. You almost managed it, Jen. Your vein is back, by the way.
The vein came back, didn't it? That bloody vein.
Yeah,
did. Maureen, talk to us about your cultural corner. Maureen Younger. She has a corner. It is full of things that we would like to put in our mouths. I don't know what I'm saying.
Wow, wait.
Thanks for that wonderful intro, Jen. Thank you, Brister. My cultural corner this week is free stately homes to visit in London. So if you're in London, London can be quite expensive. Here's some free stately homes you can visit. The Wallace Collection, and we'll put the links. I'll put them on my cultural corner page. We'll also put them to the show links. It's a National Museum housing masterpieces of painting, sculpture, furniture, arms and armour, and porcelain. It was built over the 18th and 19th centuries by the Marquis of Hertford and Sir Richard Wallace. And apparently it's one of the finest and most celebrated collections in the world, open daily from 10 to 5 o'clock. And it's really quite central in London. It's near Oxford Street, Baker Street or Marylebone Village.
Oh, wow.
What can you say? Yeah, it's a very very good collection of stuff to go around and have a look. Second one is Kenwood House. I think that was featured in Notting Hill.
In Hampstead.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, it's situated on the edge of Hampstead Heath and surrounded by landscape gardens. It has a stunning world-class art collection and interiors. You've got paintings by the artists like Vermeer, Rembrandt, Gainsborough, Turner and Constable. You can roam 112 acres of glorious parkland. And you can discover characters from Kenwood's past, including Dido Bell. There was a film made about it a couple of years back, Bell. And she was the daughter of an enslaved black woman and a white officer. And the officer sent her back to Britain to live with the aristocracy, which was quite unusual in those days. So she had quite an amazing life. And she fought against slavery, not surprisingly. She was an abolitionist. And that's free. You can just turn up, but they do advise you to book in advance to make sure you get in. And the third one, I've never been to this, and I really want to go, is the Queen's House, which is in Greenwich, which is a UNESCO World Heritage Site. And it was the first, apparently England's first classical building designed by Inigo Jones in the 17th century. Inigo Jones is really well known. I think he designed the banqueting hall, which you did a gig in once, didn't you, Jen?
Oh.
Yeah, sorry to bring that back. Sorry, that was really mean of me. It's like, she goes, has that effect, including whenever I mention Cyprus. Is it Cyprus?
Oh, God.
Anyway, it's got a fascinating exterior. It's got a geometric great hall and the tulip stairs. So it's an architectural wonder in its own right. It's also the home to an internationally renowned art collection, including works by Holborn and Lowry. And it was actually built, it wasn't built by her per se, but she got it built, Anne of Denmark, which was James I and or James VI, depending if you're a Scotland England wife. And it got a kind of, more, it became, it was built upon by Henrietta Maria, who's the wife of King Charles. And it's got the famous Armada portrait of Queen Elizabeth I, which I always thought was in the museum, but apparently it's there. If you're British, you will recognise that painting. And obviously going to Greenwich is great in itself. You can actually get the boat all along the River Thames and you'll pass Tower Bridge and Traitor's Gate. My advice would be get on before Westminster, because by Westminster there's massive queues. But Greenwich itself, you've got the Royal Observatory, where you can stand on both sides of the meridian. You've got the National Museum, Maritime Museum, which is free. You've got the Cutty Sark, the Old Royal Navy College, and you've got what's referred to as Britain's Sistine Chapel. Not quite sure that's the case, but the Painted Hall, which is absolutely amazing. And you can also get the Royal Museum's Greenwich Day Pass if you're interested. So that's my cultural corner.
Blimey, yay. They're really great suggestions. And yes, I mean, like sometimes you want to go out and do something, but you don't want to like spend loads of cash. And
those are all free. Yeah, yeah.
Those are all great. Not only are they free, but they're all in different parts of London. North London, South, Central, whatever. You know, there's somewhere probably near you that you can get to.
And Greenwich Park is, you know, you can just muck around if the weather's fine.
Yes, Greenwich Park is gorgeous. And then when you've had a wander around the park, you can go to the pub. That's a nice, lots of...
There's quite a few there.
There's a lot of pubs in Greenwich. Maureen, thank you very much for your cultural corner. That was a really good one. And again, as Maureen said, you can find the links on her cultural corner page or on the WTB Facebook page as well. We should put it on there.
Yeah, we've had all the other shit. Jen, what's pissing you off? What's got your goat? There we go. Let's get to it.
Yeah, cut to the chase.
I'm losing everything. I cannot find anything. I don't know where anything is. I don't know who I am. I don't know where I am. I can't take it anymore. So that's me getting my goat. There we are.
I think it's the...
short introductions. That's what you really hate, isn't it?
I think this vein on my forehead is upsetting. I think it's the clocks going forward have really messed with me. I'm feeling a lot more empathy for Maureen and her insane jet lag. I mean, Maureen's got genuine jet lag, like actual jet lag. I've just suffering from the fact that we've put the clocks forward 1 hour and they seem to have really messed with my mind. I'm all over the place today.
Oh my God, is anyone else? Flipping heck. Yeah. I mean,
I woke up at what was ostensibly 6:30 this morning. That doesn't make sense. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that's what's got my goat. And it happens every year and I forget. Every year it happens and I forget. And I always feel like this. But it's mostly when the clocks go forward. It does happen a bit when the clocks go back. But I think it's just another reminder that another year is gone. And we're that little bit closer to death.
Oh, keep it light, Jen. Keep it light, for God's sake. It's supposed to be a comedy podcast. What are you telling to Morrissey? The Morrissey of comedy.
Newsflash, Maureen, my comedy isn't upbeat.
You had a show called The Optimist. What are you on about?
That's true, actually. And there were moments of real optimism in that show. I can't single any out right now because I can't think of any. But they were there. No, I feel like me being affected, I think it is an age thing as well, but I do feel like there's certain things where I'm a lot more sensitive to things than I used to be. They affect me a lot more than they used to. I don't remember this being a problem when I was a young person. Let's put it like that. I don't remember ever thinking, oh, the clock's gone forward. Oh, I'm really struggling through the day. No, that never happened. So I think maybe we could just tie into all the other middle-aged moanings I have. Maureen, I know you're jet-lagged anyway, so it probably has made zero difference to you, but
made
you were
difference.
Up at 5.
I'm sleeping better now, actually, at the moment.
Are you going to bed early?
Yeah, well, I actually did, because I was watching something, and then I was like, I just fell asleep. So I probably went to sleep about 9 o'clock or something.
Wow.
Oh! What?
Yeah. Wow. And slept through till about 5, which is very unusual.
I've been trying to get Maureen to sleep earlier, so go to bed at the same time, Alison.
For years.
At the same time. Yeah, sure, years. Go to bed about the same time every night. It's hard when you're gigging. You can't do that. But when you're not gigging, try to go to bed. Even if you're not sleeping, just get into bed, 10, half 10, and train your body to start going to bed. And you will find that you will sleep so much better. It's this erratic 3 a.m., 5 a.m., 2 a.m., 1 a.m.
Yeah.
Every day, your body will. And also, when you sleep better, it helps you, if you're interested, Maureen, because this is often a catalyst for you to do stuff, to change. It helps you lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
Erratic sleep. Your body's constantly hanging on to, because it's
cortisol.
Cortisol,
so it's, or whatever it is.
And it's panicking. So it's like, oh, I'll hang on to this because we might need this in case it's an emergency.
Yeah.
So sleeping. There we go. We've made it about Maureen again. This is unbelievable. This is my bit.
That's nothing to do with me.
It's not, but it comes around, doesn't it, Alison? Coming around.
I can't help it if I'm fascinating.
You can't. That is true. You can't help it if you are the focal point for this podcast. That's not on you, Maureen, but that is you, because you are a charisma magnet. Oh, God, my coffee's arrived. Thank God, because I was really struggling to speak. It has arrived at the end of the podcast, Chloe.
I was going to say, that's perfect for the end.
Two children making a packed lunch, preparing the play dates,
Okay, but I'm actually working, so can you close the door?
Oh, don't. Keep this recording so we can see a fight. We can hear a fight.
You're going to pay for that. You're going to pay for that,
Jen. She actually looked like she was going to stab me in the face. she's still talking. Okay. I love you, and that was a joke. Okay, let's wrap this shit up, shall we?
Yeah, Jen's got to go get murdered.
It was nice knowing you, Bristol.
Women Talking Bollocks.
If you have enjoyed WTB, please make sure that you subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and leave us a little review.
Oh, you can check out our socials now on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and you never know, we may even get on TikTok.
And if you do like the show, please do have a look at our Patreon for bonus content and weekly treats.
Will that do?
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.